Good morning, Greater Alton. How's everybody doing today? My name is Gary, as most of you know, but I'd like to welcome you out if you're visiting with us especially. And I want to do something a little bit different today. I don't know how many of you have noticed, but over the last year or so, we've had some new faces around here. Woo! There I am. We've had some new faces around here, and some of them are old faces. Let's get real. Folks who have followed Jesus used to be part of us, and they followed Jesus for a while as part of another congregation in the area, and they've decided at this time they want to be back with us. And we want to start acknowledging those people who have came back and recognizing them. But today I want to start with something a little different than that, and that is somebody, young man, who was a part of us and following Jesus and decided he didn't want to follow Jesus, and now he's back here. Because he wants to follow Jesus. Corbin, would you stand up for us, please? Corbin Stanford. Guys, it is very exciting, especially for parents who've had children wander from following Jesus. I believe he is the first of many, let me say that, of children from Greater Alton who are returning to following Jesus. And that's very exciting. I encourage you. Ask him about his path back. I'm sure he'll talk with you. It's very exciting to hear his eagerness and his commitment to be a part of what Jesus has planned for his life. Very, very, very exciting. So anyway, I want to welcome today. We're in a sermon series called Free Indeed. And we're going through some information in our small groups. What's it? Freedom? Freedom in Christ. And freedom is a theme. In the New Testament is a theme for followers of Jesus. And primarily it's talking about that before Jesus and people became followers of Jesus, we were held captive. Specifically, we were held captive to ideas, to behaviors, and we have been freed from those. That's the whole idea of freedom, isn't you can do whatever you want. Okay? It's that you're no longer captive to what you shouldn't be. And being held captive was a problem, though you may not have realized it at the time. And today I'm talking about being freedom from my fears. Now when I think about fears and I prepare for this lesson, I thought about the opening to a movie several years ago. And this is the way it starts off. Starts with a gentleman walking down the street. He may or may not have been a pimp, I don't know. And he's just walking down the street and he says, "Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream?" Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood. Land of dreams. Some dreams come true. Some don't. But keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood. Always time to dream. So keep on dreaming. Now you listen to that and you say, "What's that got to do with fear, Gary?" Well, I believe you can, I want to revise that, his little, I don't know if you call that a poem or song or chant. But I think the same thing can be said about fears. And it's, welcome to being a human being. Land of fears. Some fears come true. Most fears don't. But people keep on being afraid. Why do I say that? Because I believe fear is perhaps one of the primary motivations for us, the primary influences of our thinking, of our attitudes, and of our behavior. I think if you look at it honestly, you're going to see it. You'll see it more than you care to, more than you want to admit. In fact, the fear is the dominant influence in the story of the Bible. You see it from the very beginning, I believe in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve are in the garden, and the serpent is talking to Eve, and she's saying, "Oh, God's holding back on you. God's not giving you everything there is. And that's why he don't want you to eat this fruit. And there was this fear, God's holding out. There's more to life than what God is allowing us to have." That's the very beginning. That's what's considered the fall of man. You go on and you look at Abraham, the man that God selected to be the father, genetically speaking, of his nation and the father of all the faithful for generations to come. And two of the big stories of his life are when he lies And it's very clear he's afraid for his life. He's afraid that the kings of those days is going to see his beautiful wife, who is at least 65 years old at this stage, by the way. Says a lot about her beauty. He was afraid she was so beautiful that this king was going to kill him just so he could have his wife. So he lied because of that fear. And he even in one situation allowed his wife to be taken by the king to put in his harem, to put in his group of wives. Bad stuff, bad stuff. And you go on through the Bible, the next thing, big character you notice is Moses. Moses is picked by God to lead his people out of 430 years of slavery. And God talks to him at the burning bush. And if you want to check my details on this, I encourage you to go back and read your Bible for yourself. That's always good. But Moses is basically goes, I can't do that. I'm not good at talking. What are they going to say? You see, Moses had been ran out of Egypt and was a criminal for killing an Egyptian who was abusing one of his fellow Israelite slaves. Though Moses wasn't a slave. And so he was afraid. He's like, God, I can't do that. And God answered every one of his excuses. Would not allow fear to be the dominant influence for Moses. You go on, and the Israelites have been led out, and they're on the verge of going into the promised land. And they send out 12 spies to spy out the land. And what do they come back? What's the little song say? 10 were bad, 2 were good. 10 of them said, oh no, they're too big. They're too big, they'll dominate us. They're giants. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. And instead of having faith, like the 2 spies did, that said, God will give us the power to overcome this. God has given us the land. They allowed their fears, what they could see with their eyes, to influence their decision. You go on to the book of Judges, and a prominent character in the book of Judges is a man by the name of Gideon. And he is threshing the Philistines, are oppressing God's people, even though they're now in the promised land. They're oppressing God's people, and you find Gideon in a cave, threshing wheat. I can't explain to you, I'm only guessing what that is. Processing it, I guess. He's doing it in a cave, not in a cave, in some kind of a confined space. And an angel of the Lord shows up and says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And his body's like, yeah, right. If the Lord's with me, why am I hiding in a cave? Why am I hiding in here to do this? Why is all these troubles coming out? And even after he says, okay, let's check it out, he's got to test God. He puts out that famous fleece to say, God, if you're, I'm not so sure. I want some proof. Because my fear is so big. The evidence is so strong for my fear that I want to believe my fear and not you, God. You go on and God, Israelite asks for a king, and you have King Saul. And he's a guy that's chosen by God, ready to be anointed, and they can't find him. They've got all the Israelites together, and they can't find him because he's hiding in the luggage, they said. And you go on and you read the story of Saul, and fear dominates his kingship, dominates his life. In fact, so much so, that's why we know David. That's why we have King David. Okay? Why do we know that David killed Goliath? Because Saul was afraid to kill Goliath. It said, and all the Israelites were quaking in fear. And that's the big story of the story of David and Goliath, is that David said, I'm going to have faith, not fear. And you go on, guys. The New Testament starts out with Mary and Joseph. And when the angel shows up to tell Mary that she's going to be pregnant and have a baby, what's the angel's opening line? Fear not. Fear not. And when Joseph heard about Mary being pregnant, he was afraid and was ready to put her away. Divorce her is what that meant. Break off the engagement. And the angel shows up and says, don't be afraid. Guys, I didn't do the math on this. I've been told that do not be afraid and do not fear and take courage, which are basically all the same saying, is the most repeated command in the Bible. You kind of get the picture that fear is a big deal. It really is, guys. It really is. In the life of Jesus, here's two statements that he made. One, when he was sleeping on a boat that was driving through a storm, he says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Another place, when Jesus had cast out some demons from a man and he killed the pigs, it says, "Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear." So he got in the boat and left. Wow. Wow. That's a big deal. Can you imagine? You often wanted to go back to the first century and see Jesus and see what it must have been like to see him perform miracles and to hear the words that we read in the Bible come out of his mouth and to see how he interacted with people. That just blows my mind. And these people, fear is what dominated. That's the dominant influence from seeing Jesus work, from seeing him act and perform this incredible miracle. You see, guys, when you look at all that, you need to know something. That is, God is watching what I do with my fears. Okay? And that goes for each and every one of us. We'll get to it in a minute, but I want to get ahead of myself. Look at this passage in Revelation chapter 21. Okay? It says, "He who is seated on the throne." This, what's going on here, guys, is the Apostle John is getting a picture of what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back. And this is what it says. It says, he who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Exciting times. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Guys, does that shock you when you look at that list? He talks about the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, which is witchcraft, okay, and sorcery, the idolaters. Does it amaze you that he led with the cowardly? And let's get real. What's cowardly? Those who are influenced by their fears. Those who let their fears influence them. That's the dominant influence of their lives. You go back to Jesus in Matthew 25, and this is what Jesus has to say. He tells a story in Matthew 25 about the kingdom of God, sometimes known as the parable of the talents. It says, "Then the man who received one bag of gold came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. So here is what belongs to you.'" The man acknowledges his fear, and believe it or not, it's like he's claiming a right to it. He's saying, "You better understand why I was afraid. This is why I did what I did." He's not trying to hide it. He says, "His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant.'" He doesn't deny that he was afraid. Okay, the problem wasn't the fear. The problem was that the fear influenced him to not take action, to not do what the master wanted him to do. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, guys, our fears hold us captive or have the potential to hold us captive. And I just want to start this lesson saying, guys, our fears are a big deal to God. How we deal with our fears are a huge deal to God. He is watching what each of us is doing with our fears and how big of an influence they have on us. You see, guys, Jesus died on the cross so we could be free from our fears. Do you know that? Okay, fears are real, but they don't have to captivate us. They don't have to enslave us. And that's what Jesus died for. And he rose from the dead so that we could know our fears don't need to be listened to a lot of the times. In my little when I reworded that line, that poem or whatever from the movie about Hollywood and dreams, and I talked about some fears come true, most don't. Most don't. You know, I know I got a young friend, who was a follower of Jesus in the past. He's not right now. And, he's married, has 2 children. And he told me the morning after the last election, he found his wife sobbing in the shower. And he asked her to come out and say, you know, what's going on? And she was worried about Donald Trump. And at the time, he said, why don't you write down everything you heard? What are you afraid? What do you think he's going to do? And that was just a smart thing to do. And I've told people to do that. Write down what you're afraid of. Because the reality is most of what we're afraid of never comes to be. It doesn't happen. And I'll talk about my personal experience of that here in a little bit. But guys, Jesus wants you to be free of your fears. Jesus wants you to be free of your fears. How can I experience freedom from my fears? Number one, I acknowledge my fears. I acknowledge my fears. See, guys, fear is basically a feeling. It's an emotion. And nobody likes to be told they're wrong. Nobody likes to feel that they're wrong. And so what we do is we try to come, when it comes to our feelings, we like to grab a hold of them and say they're ours. We have a right to them. Okay? But I think when it comes to our fears and our faith, because that's what we're talking about today, we need to acknowledge our fears. Look at this passage in James chapter 3. I love this passage. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Now, guys, he didn't mention fears there. Okay? He's talking about bitterness and envy. But he's dealing with the reality that humans, I believe, have a tendency to deny what God says is wrong. We have the ability to say, no, I don't think this is a problem. No, I don't think I'm guilty of this. You know, and with fears, I believe we like to say, no, I believe this is a valid, and we substitute, in other words, it's a valid what? Concern. We can do that. We can do that. We justify it. We We expect it. And we may even look at the people around us and look at evidence and say, we need to be afraid. I love statistics. Anybody else a fan of statistics? Yeah. Social media doesn't use a lot of statistics. Okay? Or they don't use a lot of statistics that I'm going to instantly trust. How's that? You may find some of them on there. And there's a sociology professor from Penn State that I like to listen to. Oh, he's on YouTube. He publishes a broadcast, or you can get all his stuff. You want to take Sociology 119 at Penn State or get the information from it? You go to YouTube and do search for SOC 119 and you'll love it. And he does this amazing thing where he brings students down to the front. You know, and he brings the one time he was talking about guns, Second Amendment rights, and comes down and he brings down a white girl from a rural area who's a member of the NRA. And then sitting right beside her, he has a black woman from the inner city. And they're talking about gun rights. He brings all sides together to answer these questions, and he uses statistics. And guys, I'm gonna ruin. He does one. If you ask me for it later, I can find you the link for it, and happy to send it to you. But he's talking about cop shootings, and he has white men, black women. He has every imaginable group on his stage. And he starts asking the questions. He throws up statistics that the Washington Post, I think it's the Washington Post, one of the newspapers, had published with regards to police shootings. And it was just amazing. He'd ask them, okay, how many, there was like, I want to say it was 700 or 800 shootings in 2016. And he asked them the question, how many of these were young white men? How many of these were young black men? And then he asked the question, how many of these were armed? How many of these were unarmed? He goes through all these questions and he pulls up the statistics of how afraid should you really be? And guys, it's amazing that the statistics showed the opposite of what's out there in this world, of the fears that we have from both sides. From both sides. And it's just amazing, guys. And we don't want to acknowledge our fears are not going to happen most of the time. You see, because there's a couple other verses I want to look at, and they're not in your notes. One's in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Then in chapter 14 and verse 23, he says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. You see, guys, I think we have to acknowledge something here. Fear, my fears and my faith are in opposition to each other. Okay, that's why it's so significant that you acknowledge them. That you acknowledge you have got to face your fears. You have to overcome your fears in order to live by faith. It's like Jesus told, I read this earlier, it's in Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus says, you have little faith, why are you so afraid? By the way, I was telling Alan earlier, this lesson alone ought to be a whole series. It would be an excellent class where you had discussions to go through in your small group and talk about what your fears are and talk about what fears you feel justified about, you know, and how they dominate you, how they influence your thinking, your talking, and your actions. How you make decisions. You see, guys, I understand this. Because when I look back at my life, I see how fear was a major influence in my life. Let's pray. And we'll be done. Father, this is a challenging lesson. It is challenging to think about being in your presence and having my true thoughts
attitudes, actions, feelings exposed for what they really are. I cannot count the number of times that I felt and believed something so strongly was right, and only to have to confess to myself that I was wrong, and confess to you that I was wrong, to agree with you. Father, that's so freeing. That's so liberating. And Father, I praise you for sending Jesus and showing us this freedom, making this freedom available. Father, I want to pray right now. You know, I just said there could be somebody in this room that's squirming right now. Father, I want to pray you'll touch their heart with the possibility of the freedom that they get to experience. Father, that's the way you want us to live. You don't want us to live in chains. You don't want us to live oppressed. You don't want us to live under the control of sin. You want us to represent you, and that's where freedom comes from. Father, put that desire on our hearts each and every day. And it's in Jesus that I pray. Amen.
I will bless the Lord forever. I will trust Him at all times. He has delivered me from upon a rock, and I will not be moved, and I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shield.
My portion, deliver.
strong tower, my very present help in time of need. My very present help in time of need. My very present help in time of need.